Blog Talk Radio.
Part 5 in that series. We pray that everyone has been able to listen to it, has been able to digest it. As the Most High speaks to us concerning false salvation, there are so many doctrines in the world, and Messiah said there's only one way in. And if it doesn't come through him, and if it doesn't come through the Spirit of truth, then you're entering in another way, trying to come through the side window, the back door, what have you. So we're going to continue in this feast week. I want to say that to everyone, if you were looking for a meeting last night, and I thought that we had said that we wouldn't meet last night, so I didn't schedule one. But if I said that I would, if somebody would let me know, because I did not schedule one last night. So, and I think only one or two people tried to call in on last night. But if one of my sisters can let me know, because I thought we discussed and said we wouldn't meet last night.
Yes, we did. We discussed that.
All right, amen. Had people that, some people that tried to call in and then wonder why I hadn't called in or why they weren't told. I'm like, I'll leave that where it is. All right, I thought we had discussed.
We did.
All right, amen. On today, as I was at the farmer's market, and we did well at the farmer's market on today, the guy from, I was saying on last week, from a town that's about an hour away, 30 minutes away, I have yet to speak with him. I will speak with him after, I'll probably speak with him Monday or Tuesday. Sounds to be very promising. They live in a more expensive community, so they will not have a problem with you know, meeting the price, and they're looking that they would probably do about 200 ounces of microgreens a week. And so that, you know, is a very good, you know, client to have in profit, and I think the Most High for them once I speak with them. As we continue on today, hold on a minute. All right. We're trying to help some other people get on today, and so bear with me. As we continue in this feast of unleavened, today what I want to talk about is godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, because we are told in the scriptures. We went through the, you know, the where we left off at in this precept was the Sermon on the Mount. And Messiah was telling, you know, the people that they had to get a new heart. And so we're going to look at that today, not from the book of Matthew, but from Ezekiel. And then we're going to talk about godly sorrow in this precept. Because we have to have godly sorrow in order to come to true repentance. We have to have fear of the Most High. So that's what we're going to look for and look and talk about today, in some measure. So I pray that you have your pencil and your paper. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the love of our soul and the rock of our faith. If you are in North America or South America, you know, something I didn't check today, and I need to check it real quick, because our goal is to spread this gospel into every kingdom. Let me see if we have any new nations that have that this ministry has reached into in the past couple of weeks. We were steamrolling at one time, and then it slowed down. But let's see if we have any of those new nations, any new nations. Uh, All right. Let's see. And I believe Hungary was already nations that we have. Give me a hot second. Because we want to acknowledge new countries as they come on. I usually check this before, and I apologize, just getting in from the farmer's market. Yeah, Hungary is already a country that is part of this ministry, is listening in this ministry. So I don't see any new ones. So whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are on the continent of Africa, whether you are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we say happy Passover and happy, blessed Passover. Blessed Passover and happy Feast of Unleavened as we continue to observe and be obedient to the Most High in this matter. On today, we're going to go ahead and jump into this and get into our statement of faith. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us turn toward the east, toward the direction where the sun rises as we go before the Most High on this day. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. All right, and if you are on the 480 number, looks like that line just came open, stuff on your end. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Elohim. Glory to your name, glory to your name, Father. We just lift you up and we magnify you. And we extol your name, Father. And we bow down before you to worship you, O Yah Elohim, in truth and in spirit, and in obedience to your word. As we observe the day that you have commanded that we observe, Father, we thank you on this day. And we lift you up, and we give you glory, honor, and praise, for you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. For there is none like unto you, O Yah Elohim, no, not one. And we bow down, and we give you glory and honor and praise, and we worship your holy name. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hand, raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those and have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask not that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. We would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways, and we are turning from our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call the Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, follow along in your Bible. 1 Kings chapter 8 for our scripture readings on today, and we will go through quite a few of them. And let me get there. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 8, and I will read this in your hearing, and I will read it in the first person to make it personal to us. Because if the scriptures aren't personal to you, then they don't become as real. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness into thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of them that carried, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Kings, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And I might even read 8. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain, for Yah, thy Elohim, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yah made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
not Buddha nor Muhammad, but it's Jesus we cry out loud. Father, just forgive us. Give us when we pray. Thank you.
We need to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. We need to be renewed, rejuvenated. As we go forth in the Passover and the removing of leaven from our lives, we want the Most High to fill us up. I want to quickly go over the foundations of discipleship from what standpoint we are to be looking at the scriptures. What is the meaning of a disciple? The meaning of discipleship. A disciple has been shown to be someone who follows the teaching, the life, and the aim of another until the person becomes like the master. And we know them Kung Fu masters. Their pupils are trying to become like them or greater than them. But when it comes to discipleship in the Christian sense or in the Hebrew sense, it's the process of making someone become like Mashiach, like Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. The disciples of Christ is to become like Christ in everything. So let us go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, and let's hear what Messiah says about this. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So why are you speaking to them? Why aren't you clearly? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. So as we were looking on last week, when Messiah, at the Sermon on the Mount, Messiah went up into the mountains when the masses came, and the masses didn't follow him into the mountains. It was only his disciples, and he taught them. And so now they're asking him, how come you don't speak to the masses plainly? He says, because it's not given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. Because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. So he has to give the understanding. The masses, the gospel, is what was never given to the masses to understand it. Down to verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have the desire to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Most High and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Messiah is saying to us concerning the kingdom. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides. And for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven has to be the most valuable thing in your life. Obtaining the kingdom of heaven has to be the most important thing to you in your life. That you would be willing to go sell everything you have to obtain it. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he's reiterating that the kingdom has to be the most valuable, the most important thing. Getting into his kingdom has to be the most valuable and important thing in your life. Go to Psalms 119, the book of Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, him with the whole heart. So first, we got to seek the kingdom of heaven and Elohim and his righteousness. Secondly, we got to value the kingdom as being the most precious thing in our life. And third, we have to seek it with our whole heart. Psalm 119 and 34. give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So forth, we got to observe his law with our whole heart, and we got to want his kingdom with our whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is the way Israel has to come to the Most High, return to him with our whole heart, and this is the way the Gentile has to come, with their whole heart. Go to Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 29, 26 through 33. And we won't read all of these, but we will get the important part. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It's very clear. So you can't love anybody more than you love them, not even your own self, when you love Messiah. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So if you're not willing to pick up the cross, your burden, your crucifixion of your own self and follow him, then you cannot be his disciple. And whosoever and for which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish. Are you willing to do what it takes? Have you count the cost of what it's going to take to follow Messiah and to finish this walk, this journey with him? Least happy after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. 3. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So first we got to seek the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness. Second, we have the kingdom that must be the most valuable and important thing in our life. Third, we must seek the kingdom with our whole heart. Fourth, you cannot love anyone, even yourself, more than you love Messiah. Fifth, you must consider the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost to seek him with your whole heart? And sixth, you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah. All right, so now that we have reviewed our foundations of discipleship, I want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, as we get into this precept on this evening. The book of Matthew, chapter 4. And let me pull up my document. Matthew chapter 4, let's get verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Let my son go. I'm in the wrong book. I'm in Exodus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So the people had faith in Messiah, okay? And they knew that, you know, that there was something special about him. But when he was teaching the gospel, he mainly spoke plainly to his own disciples, as we read in Matthew chapter 12. But from the miracles and from his teaching in the synagogue, his fame grew. People heard about him. They heard about him healing people. They heard about him, healing all manner of sickness. Many believed in him because they saw him healing and his ability to cast out devils. they saw a display of the power of the Most High, so they believed on Messiah. But they were believing what they were seeing, but most of what he was saying, they weren't understanding when he would actually give a parable or a teaching. He would speak to them in a parable. There are many people within the modern-day church today that contend that the four Gospels, and especially the Sermon on the Mount, was given to Israel and has nothing to do with the church. So when he says, blessed are, and when he's saying, this is the way you ought to be, the church doesn't believe, many in the church don't believe it applies to them. They believe it belongs totally to the time of the dispensation of the law, what they consider to be the dispensation of the law, because many of them do not believe that they are under the law. So Pentecost hadn't happened yet. They believe that, hey, until Pentecost, none of this applied to us. But even after Pentecost, we got to understand that the Most High first was bringing in Israel, and then he started to incorporate the Gentile nations into this later on and into the covenant. Okay. So if you are in the church and you believe that this gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, has nothing to do with you, if you believe that, you don't have to do it, then you're going to have a problem for the simple reason that if we believe that the Sermon on the Mount was only to Israel, then the problem is you're going to damn yourself, okay, because you're not going to believe the true gospel and the true way into the kingdom, and you're not going to believe the heart that the Most High wants us to have as his people, whether we are homeborn or the stranger. And the Gentile church is the stranger that are being invited into the covenant. So if the churches aren't teaching this thing correctly, then the churches and those millions of people that are coming in up under the churches, problem is that they'll be coming into a false gospel, a false salvation. They will learn that they are saved by another method, that they don't have to keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. And they won't do it. And that's what we find today. So we got to understand that can't believe that doctrine, that the Sermon on the Mount and any of the Gospels, all of the Gospels, let me just put it this way, all of the four synoptic Gospels are before Pentecost. They happened before Pentecost. So really, if you were thinking that the Sermon on the Mount didn't apply, if that's what you were taught, to the church, excuse me, then none of the Gospels would apply to the church. But we know for a fact that that's not true. So we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're not understanding that Messiah was, that the same standard that he gives to Israel, he gives to the rest of the world. Okay? It's just how fast you have to come into it and what's required of you when you first come in. But let's continue. So the Sermon on the Mount is it's a conversation, it's a discourse of the parameters on how you enter into the new heart. And what new heart are we talking about? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's get verses 31 and 33. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and 33. Behold, the day is coming, saith God, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Every believer ought to underline that, because, you know, you can't replace Israel. You can't replace his people. The Most High is not going to save all of Israel, but he's still saving Israel, if that makes sense. I'm going to save Israel, but I'm not saving all of Israel. I'm going to save a remnant. But my covenant is with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And every man his brother saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hold on, I missed a verse here. Go to Ezekiel, because we're still looking for that new heart. Ezekiel chapter 11. So the new covenant is with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It wasn't with the Gentile nations to begin with. And the Gentile nations are being grafted in to this new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel. Ezekiel, chapter 11, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, hit verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Now he's talking to Israel. This new spirit, the spirit of the Most High, the Most High always wanted to give Israel his spirit. That's what he was after, even in the wilderness. He said, I want to walk in you. But they were rebellious. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. So this heart, this new heart that he's giving to Israel, as part of the new covenant, that is what he's trying to show them in Matthew, the book of Matthew. The way to get into this new heart, which is part of the new covenant. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. And we sort of went over this last week, so we'll do this quickly. I won't read all the verses. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, you, a heart of flesh. So the Most High says, I'm going to give Israel a new heart. I'm going to take away that stony heart. And so anybody coming into this covenant, the Most High has to give a new heart to, even to the Gentile nation. Don't get to keep the old heart that you had. Israel was not the only one with a stony heart. But this is mankind in general. Israel, being his priesthood, had to go through this first. And I will put my spirit within you. Must have this, the spirit of the Most High. I will put my spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh and within you, and cause you to walk in my steps, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is what the Most High wants, even from the Gentile nations. Israel, I want you to keep my judgment. I want you to keep my commandments. I'm going to put my spirit in you. And as I said on last week, the fact that you want to do a gut check, you want to do a spirit check, if you read the Most High's judgment and you can't do them, you're not willing to do them, you can't possibly have his spirit. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgment. His spirit is going to cause that to happen. Not we of our own self. But he says, we got to do one thing. We got to turn. We, you know, some people need to hear this because they're waiting on the Most High to change them. But if you still got that stony heart, you're not going to want to change. So we're going to read this in a second. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So Israel and the Gentiles have to do this. Everyone. The word covenant in the Hebrew is berit, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H, which means a compact, a leave, an agreement, or a contract. In the New Testament, the word is diatheke, D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E, that's in the Greek, which means contract, a testament, a legally binding agreement. So the new covenant is a legally binding agreement from the old. This aspect of the new covenant is primarily concerned in the Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. As there is no other way to enter in, there's no other way to enter into the kingdom. To enter into the kingdom of heaven or enter into this new covenant. Messiah mentions this new, mentions the kingdom of heaven 27 times in the book of Matthew's alone. That's what he's trying to, Matthew, he's trying to tell you about the kingdom and about salvation. He mentions the kingdom 5 times in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 12. 5 times, it's important. It's going to tell you how to enter in. Blessed are they that go through this. Blessed you are humble in heart. Blessed are the meek. He's telling you what spirit we have to have. And the only way you're going to get that spirit is through godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. So entering into the new covenant, the New Testament, which should really always say covenant, it's about having a change of heart toward the Most High, toward your brother, and it's tied directly to entering in this new heart that you're supposed to have. I'm going to give you a new heart, a new mind. I'm going to put my spirit in you, that you might walk in my judgment, walk in all my ways and my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Now, I know for a fact, and I'm just going to say it because I don't want to play with this thing. If you're not willing to do his judgment, again, you can't possibly have his spirit. Because this is what he's calling for. He says, I'm going to put the spirit within you, my spirit, to do my judgment. Talked about on last week that the Most High reveals his heart through his law, through his statutes, through his commandments, through his judgment, his ordinances. That's how he reveals his heart. That's agape love, the love of Elohim. Through his statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments and ordinances, I'm revealing my heart to you. and I'm going to give you my heart, my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments, that you might do them. And without his spirit, we won't do it. And without his spirit, we will find a way not to do it. Without his spirit, we will even get mad at somebody for even reading it to us. I don't know how many people get offended by these types of messages, but it's not a few. It's quite a few that get offended. And not understanding, even with the Sabbath day, Messiah said it is good to do good on the Sabbath. Understanding how to walk in the Sabbath. So we are supposed to go through this new birth, this regeneration of the old man into a new man, performed by the Spirit of the Most High within us, and having his heart to keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments. That's how you're going to know. Because I hear a lot of people saying, you know, yeah, I got the Spirit of the Most High. I said, how do you know? What sign do you have? Because we're given a sign. So what sign do you have? Are you performing miracles? Playing any of the gifts of the Spirit that can't be you? Because anybody can try to be loving. Anybody can try to be kind. Anybody can try to, you know, have joy. Anybody can, you know, try to be good in and of themselves. Well, I need to straighten up and be good. But the Most High says, no, you need to be more than just that. You got to have my spirit so that you judge by my standards. If you have my heart, you must have godly sorrow. And you must turn yourself. But see, Israel is waiting for the Most High to make them do some things. And the Most High says, uh-uh. He commands that we turn ourselves. Chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's get verse 31 and 32. And we're looking for the Most High's direction and what he's telling us we have to do. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 31 and 32. Cast away from you. He's telling you to do something. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Throw away all your, stop doing those things whereby you have transgressed. And make you a new heart and a new spirit. Now, the Most High says he's going to put a new heart and a new spirit in Israel. But he's telling Israel how he's going to do it by having you to cast it away. Throw that stuff away. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says Yah. Wherefore, turn yourself. Turn yourself and live. So I know I've talked to many people who, especially of the Hebrew origin, my brothers and sisters, that are waiting for Yah to make them behave, that are waiting for Yah to make them do something, and Yah says, you turn from it. And I will put my spirit in you. But I'm not going to put my spirit in you to make you do anything. You turn yourself from your transgression. You turn yourself. Away from them. something that we have to do. And when we start taking responsibility for our own selves and our own actions, because see, we can be looking at the statutes, laws, and commandments and believing that we are in his kingdom, and we haven't turned one bit. Still struggling with old sin. It says, you are supposed to turn from those transgressions. Cast them away from you. Likewise, the Gentiles, when they are grafted in to this covenant, they have to look at their own sins, the worshiping of other gods, the worshiping of demons and things like that, which Israel went after as well. You got to cast away your transgressions. Most High is not letting the Gentiles nations in and saying, hey, don't matter what you did. You can go ahead and keep worshiping the gods you've been worshiping. You can keep celebrating the holy days that you have made up for yourself and not mine. He didn't say that. He just gave them grace to learn it because they didn't have the law always like Israel had it. From the day the Most High made Israel a nation, even before then, their forefathers he gave his commandments to. And they followed it, followed them. When he brought Israel out as a nation, first thing he did was give them his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his judgments. 6 days he took and gave it to them. So Israel was out without excuse. The Gentile nations, he didn't give it to them. Israel was supposed to give it. Teach them my ways. That's what Messiah said. Go and teach all men. Whatsoever I taught you, Messiah didn't sin. He didn't teach nobody to sin. These were all Hebrews from the beginning until Israel just totally rejected it. He says, now I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. Now, it was intended that he would bring the Gentiles in, but it was not until Israel. He waited until Israel rejected him, even rejected his spirit. Then we have the Gentile nations taking over, the Gentile church taking over the gospel because of what our forefathers did. He says, you know what? If y'all don't behave right, I'll cut you off too, and that's what has happened. And the Most High is waking up in these last days, his remnant, giving his people a chance to come back to him, to turn ourselves from our transgressions, stop sinning. I'm not going to make you stop sinning. You got to turn yourself away from that. You're going to have to make yourself obey. Put a new heart in you. And remove your stony heart. I will give you my spirit. That's why a lot of, let me just speak frank. Why a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters don't have the spirit of the Most High. And they're trying to go off of their own accord. Because they want the Most High to change them. Well, I said, I'm not going to change you. Turn yourself. Cast that stuff away from you and turn yourself that you may live. So we got to understand that. Now, what is the real issue here? Elohim is pleading to the house of Israel. Has been for a time now as the awakening started happening. Pleading to Israel, I believe, since the 1800s, waking up, started waking up mad at the world, mad at the Gentiles, mad at what we had gone through as a people. But we know we only went through that stuff because of our disobedience and the disobedience of our forefathers. but the Most High was waking us up that he might select his remnant, those that will do what he says to do, that will turn themselves away from their transgression. Not wait on the Most High. Well, Most High, you have to do this for me. I've spoken to too many that have said this, and they have that expectation that, yeah, you know, I'm only human. Yah knows I'm only human. I'm not going to change until he comes back. You wait until he comes back, you're going to be in trouble. So understand this. So he's pleading with Israel to cast away our sin, cast away our transgression. How are we supposed to do it? How do we cast them away? It's via godly repentance or godly sorrow. Not being glad that we're a Hebrew Israelite. Not being glad that Messiah came and died for our sins. That's nothing to really be glad for. The fact that he was willing to die for us and make a way, we ought to be thankful for it, but not really glad that he had to die like that for our sins, for the sins of our forefathers, even all the way back to Adam. So with godly sorrow, godly repentance, Most High, I am so sorry that I have transgressed against your law, against you. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I am not worthy to even be before you, to even make a petition to you as though I was righteous, as though I had a right to petition you when I've been in wickedness all this time. And I wasn't really sorry about it. Sorry I got caught. Didn't want to turn from my transgression. Didn't want to turn myself from this to everybody, but it applies to the majority. I need you to change me. He told you, turn yourself. Cast from you all your transgressions. He didn't say, I'm going to cast from you all your transgressions. Cast all your transgressions away. That's what repentance is. He never changes. He says it in a different way, but he don't change. Repent. Cast away all your transgressions that you have transgressed in. Confess your sin. Confess your transgressions. Throw them away from you. Turn yourself. This is how you get this new heart. This is how you get my spirit. So this is not something Elohim is going to do for you. It's something that you must do for yourself. He says, why? Why will you die? I'm telling you what to do. Cast away your transgressions that you have transgressed in and turn yourself back toward me. Keep my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments, and do them. If I see you cast away your transgressions and have godly sorrow, be truly sorry that you have offended me. Because a lot of people don't go there. They're not sorry that they transgressed the Most High's laws. They know that they are sinners, but somehow we don't equate that we have broken his laws. It doesn't go to that level. and we never place it where it should be. I have transgressed against the Most High Elohim. Most people act like that ain't that big a deal. But that's the only way that he's going to give you his spirit. That's the only way he's going to give you his heart. That's the only way he's going to give you and let you know his mind. You have to cast away your transgressions. Put them away. Throw them away. Die to them, as it says in the New Testament. Die to them. And turn yourself. You have to do it. He's not going to do it for you. When you get that heart and that mind that I have transgressed against the Most High, you should be, your heart should hurt. In embarrassment, in pain for what you have caused the pain him to, the pain you have caused him, and what he has had to put up with from you. But see, everybody wants to feel that the Most High should be above that. He should be above that, and he should forgive me. He knows I'm human. The Most High said, my bowels, my bowels. I'm stomach of you. Why will you not live? Or why will you die? I'm telling you what I want. I'm telling you what I need. What I require. Turn from your transgressions with godly sorrow. If you do that, then I will take away the stony heart out of you. And I will give you a heart. A heart that can feel. A stony heart can't feel nothing. That rock out there don't feel nothing. You throw that rock down on the ground, that rock don't cry out. It don't say out. It don't say stop. It don't say you hurt me. When you got a stony heart, you have no feelings, no natural feelings. You will say, I'm sorry, because somebody told you to say I'm sorry. But in and of your natural self, you wouldn't say I'm sorry. You'll say, I'm a wicked person, because somebody told you to say I'm a wicked person. But in and of yourself, you don't think you're wicked. I'm a good person. I ain't no worse than anybody else. Why are you worried about everybody else? You need to be worried about yourself. Because you're judging yourself by the standard of wicked people. If people that are wicked, that are as the Most High said, their thoughts are evil continually. That is their natural way. If you're judging your goodness based upon that, then you are acting foolishly. You are judging yourself by your own standard, by the standard of men. Wicked men at that, and say, well, I'm good compared to that one, and I'm good compared to that one. Well, that one might be a little bit better than me. By the Most High standard, there is no one good, no man. Why, he came as a man. Let me show you how you're supposed to act. But he wants us to have godly sorrow. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my way. After you throw this stuff away, then I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk and to do them. But if you keep that stony heart, if you don't throw away your transgressions because you want to stay in them, you want to keep doing them, you don't really want to live, not as the Mosiah is speaking about living. You're satisfied really with this life in this world, because it's all the life you know. With its way. And you shall keep my judgment and do them. But I put my spirit in you. But I ain't putting my spirit in you until you have repented, until you have cast away all your transgressions. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going to walk in those wicked ways anymore. You got to make that decision for yourself. You got to turn yourself. Because once the Most High gives you his spirit, then he will properly teach you his ways, properly give you discernment of his commandments. He will let you see what he doesn't let the masses see. He will let you see it. He will give you understanding. And what he wants from us is to keep his judgment. As I said, my brothers and sisters will say, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. I have yet still to find one that says, yeah, we're going to keep the judgments too. And he just showed me another way to determine how we know who has the spirit and who doesn't. You're going to want to please him in all ways. You're going to not want to transgress against him in no kind of way. You're going to want to do what he said to do, how he said to do it. And those things which he allows, how Messiah explained it. This is how I look at things. I know I told you not to go outside on the Sabbath. It's over. I told you not to go outside. Don't do no servile work. But I know there's some things that must be done, like the priesthood has to do their job on the Sabbath. They are doing servile work. I didn't charge them with it. That's against the commandment. You're going to circumcise somebody on the Sabbath? It's the eighth day. Can't contradict the law to keep a law or to break a law. Most times says, no, I know what laws I gave you. I know what laws will require you to sort of modify or walk within my Sabbath to do a good work. It's a good thing that you circumcised him and kept the law of circumcision. It was a commandment. It's a good thing that you allowed your sheep to water themselves, fell down in a hole. And which one of you would not go pull that sheep out of that hole? I don't want you doing anything for your own pleasure. I don't want you doing anything that is for you. Your father-in-law or your mother-in-law or your brother or your sister call you on the Sabbath and say, hey, I'm stuck on the side of the freeway. Most I expect you to do a good and go get them. It's not a good thing to leave them stranded. And it's acceptable with him. The Most High knows that, you know what? That person sitting in that hospital room that ain't nobody going to see about, that they've been eating that hospital food for the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however long they've been in there. If you take them a meal and you go see about them, you did a good. This is what Messiah was talking about. You, it wasn't for your sake, but, you know, for a pleasure for you. Now, if you're sitting there watching a football game, watching basketball games, washing your car, doing things that bring you pleasure. I don't allow that on my day. If you don't go help your brother or your sister, I allow that. Just make sure that it is really needed. And make sure that their heart is not that they want to make you break the Sabbath, because there are people out there like that. But if it's to do a good, then go ahead and do the good. And leave it in the Most High's hands. Come back home and continue your Sabbath. Just need to have godly repentance. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's get verse 10. So this is honestly what I believe most people lack in their walk. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Sorrow. Not that you are you know, sorrow as sorry or hurt or as the Most High can be. It's not talking like that. It's that you are sorry that you have transgressed against him at that level. That you have hurt him at that level. That you understand that you have not walked in his way. That's his is the law. His ways are law. His commandments are law. His ordinances are law. His judgments are law. And if you don't do any of them, you transgress. So understanding the level at which you have transgressed and who you have transgressed again. Stand that you will have true repentance. Godly sorrow leadeth unto or worketh repentance. Because now your level of sorrow is appropriate. When you sin against your brother or your sister, then that level of sorrow, you may be sorry that you hurt them. But transgressing against them is not going to cost you your life unless you did something that was worthy of your life, and they had an ought to take your life from you. You killed somebody, and I'm sorry, you know, that I killed your brother or your sister or your mother or your father, somebody you loved. And they turn around and take it out on you. But godly sorrow in that I have sinned unto heaven, unto the throne of the Most High. I have broken a heavenly law. The law of the highest. There is no higher law than the Most High's law. There is no higher commandments than the Most High commandments. There are no higher ordinances than the Most High ordinances. There are no juster judgments than the Most High judgments. Nowhere on this earth. But his are the highest. He says that I want you to have godly sorrow. Most High, I have transgressed against you, and I have broken the highest laws that there are, the highest commandments that there are. Not the laws of man, but your laws. Your laws supersede man's highest laws. Having understanding and understanding understanding who you have truly transgressed again and being sorry, truly sorry that you have transgressed against him. But see, when we commonize it as we're human and all humans, you know, we have all sinned and we're none of us perfect, and we will humanize it, and we'll bring the Most High down to our level. And it won't be that serious, but he wants it to be that serious with you, because when you have godly sorrow, then you can truly come to repentance, being at the right level to the right person. Other than that, we would just be, you know, yeah, I did those things, and I'm kind of sorry that I did it, but it don't even equate to that you did them against the Most High. Not in the real sense. I pray that I'm doing this justice, but not in the real sense. We don't put the level of value on it that we should. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented. When you repent at that level, you don't have to repent of sin. You don't have to repent that you repented. You won't say that, you know, I did it again. Most of you got to forgive me. So when you truly understand it, if you truly have godly sorrow, then you will be truly sorry that you have transgressed, and you will not do it again. You will cast it from you. I don't do that no more. I won't do that no more, because I'm offending Elohim. I'm offending the Most High. So I won't do that anymore. You won't have to repent of that again. Because if you repented of it, truly repented of it, surely you would not do it again if you understood who you were transgressing against. It would not be a game to you. It would not be a reason that you would allow yourself to be in transgression. Most High, you know I'm human, and I can't stop this. Then are you reprobate? You are a reject stop on your own. If you're waiting for him to stop you, you are a reprobate. You are a reject. And you're going to claim you know me and you can't stop sinning? You don't know me. I'm not important enough to you for you to stop. See, when we transgress against somebody we love, and let's say that we were taken in a fault, and it truly hurt us that we hurt them, then we will confront it and say, you know, I did this, and I'm so sorry that I did it, and I'll never do it again. I didn't feel right when I did it. And I never wanted to hurt you that way. See, that's a level of sorrow that you don't want to transgress against that person and hurt them like you hurt them. But when it comes to the Most High, then, you know, these types of feelings are below the Most High. This is the way we act. He says, but what you don't understand is, even though these things are below me, the fact that you don't esteem me high enough not to do it means that you really don't respect me. You really don't love me. And and you expect for me to just be all merciful and all kind and all forgiving towards you when I am the Most High. Everything and everyone bows down before me. And if anything is corrupt in my presence, the power of my presence will kill it. It is just my nature. Why I couldn't allow your forefathers to come around me, be in my presence in a sinful manner. Because I would break forth on them. It is the way that I am, and I will destroy evil. So I hid myself in dark clouds for your sake. For your sake, that I wouldn't break forth on you. And now you don't have the understanding that when you transgress against me, that this is a very grievous thing. And you want to take advantage of my nature and say, oh, well, you got to forgive me. That's your nature. You forgive. He says, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. You better learn how to have godly sorrow. You better learn how to have discern that you have transgressed against the Most High, against me. You better have genuine sorrow in your heart. Not just saying something to me because you feel like that's what I need to hear. No, that's what you need to hear. That's what you need to know. That I might give you my spirit. That I might adopt you. Else I cast you into the lake as a reprobate. Unable to discern who you are transgressing against and at what level. Not taking this thing serious. That to offend me is a joke. So if we want to get this new heart, we want to get the Spirit of the Most High, and we must cast away our transgressions. Throw them away and turn ourselves. Got to make that our own mind up to do that. And the only way that we truly and really do that is when we learn and understand godly sorrow. Other than that, we are worshiping him with our lips. But our heart, having that godly sorrow, our heart is far from him. To know him is to fear him. If you truly know him, it is to fear him. He don't play. He don't play. Hold on a minute. Let me mute this for a second. All right. We are at 6:46. Let's continue. All right, let's continue. So we are looking for the love of Elohim, and we're looking to get his mind and his heart, that agape love. We're looking to come into the new covenant, to receive true salvation. If anything short of this, we won't obtain what we're asking. He will say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, you worker of lawlessness. You disobedient one, I knew you not. You calling on my name. You praying in my name. You casting out demons in my name. You pronouncing healings on people in my name. And I don't know you. Godly sorrow. Worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping him in fear. So this manner of love, agape love. Go to John chapter, 1 John chapter 3. 1. What manner, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? What manner of agape love? Godly love. I'm going to give you my statutes, my laws, my commandments. I'm going to give you my heart. Hey, I need you to quiet it down up here. I need you to quiet it down up here so I can hear you. Singing. Just stop what you were doing, okay? Whatever you were doing, I could hear it. All right? Until I'm finished with the letter. All right, thank you. Okay. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? His love, his heart, his way, giving you my heart. I told you how I feel. I told you what upsets me. I told you what is a transgression when you are disobedient. He didn't have to tell us. I am the Most High. I don't report to you. I don't have to tell you why I'm killing you. I don't have to tell you or explain to you why I'm wiping you out of existence. The fact that I want to give you my heart, my mind, concerning how I am.
Is now in the conference.
So that you don't transgress. The fact that I want to
be there for you.
That shows you what kind of love I have for you, because I don't have to do that. I am the Most High. I don't do that for the angels. I don't do that for the demons. Do I really love you? That I would give you my heart. That I would say, you know what? When you err, this is how you correct it. Now, when you know what I don't like and you do it, there is no correction for that. You have just been disobedient. Period. There ain't no correction for that. But death. So that's what happens with anything else in my creation disobeys me like you do. It's immediate death for it. Except for the angels, those eternal spirits, even the demons. I've made a day for that. Everything else, it don't get to do that to me. And the fact that I created you to be my child and you don't respect me, you don't honor me, you don't obey me, your day is coming too. I shall shake the heavens when I shake you. Everything, the angels, the demons, you, everything that is disobeyed, I've appointed a time now. So you better have godly sorrow. You better recognize who you have transgressed against. And you better be very afraid that I won't forgive you, that I'm going to throw you into this lake of fire that's not going to burn you up, but you can feel it, and you'll feel it for eternity. Will you not live instead? Will you not live instead? Turn yourself. Stop sinning. Stop saying you belong to me and you can't stop sinning. You don't belong to me. Stop saying that you are not up under my law. You don't belong to me. Stop lying to yourself. Stop waiting on me to do it for you, because I'm not. I'm going to let you walk in your way instead of mine. And then I'm going to condemn you for it. So anyone today that does not have godly sorrow, doesn't understand that their level of sorrow needs to rise to the heavens. I am a wretch undone. If the Most High doesn't have mercy on me, there is no hope for me. If there's something that he says I shouldn't do, teach me that I might not do it. If there is something that he says that I should do, teach me that I might do it, that I transgress not against him. That's the heart that the Most High is looking for. That's his heart. And I will put my spirit within you. And when he says to cause you to walk in his ways, is to teach you and allow you to see his ways, to understand his ways, so that you will be able to do them. He won't let you walk around blind. He will guide your path. He will guide your steps. He will be your Elohim. And you will be his people when you learn to have godly sorrow. You won't say you're in his kingdom when you know you're walking against him. Your heart won't let you do that. You won't deceive yourself, because you'll know, wait a minute, I got to get in. I got to do what's necessary. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to be so prideful to think that, you know what, I'm in. Yeah, if I'm not walking according to your ways, me, that I might do that. Show me. Give me that new heart, your heart, that I might keep your covenant. This is the heart that the church doesn't have. This is the heart that most people who say that they belong to him don't have. judging themselves after the manner of men, after the standards of men, but not according to the standards of the Most High. And as I said, we'll close this down for this evening. He said that he would give you a heart to do his judgment where you are all falling. May the Most High bless. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Seen and unseen. Fear Yah. And keep his commandments, saints. That you might bring him glory, honor and praise and worship.
I gotta be.
love is who you are. Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you I really
and
Happy Sabbath and Feast of Unleavened.
Oh.